Press start. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where we fought the Nightman, lived as Dayman, and now we're here to ask for your hand. As always, I am the boy Zach.
Will you marry me? Zach.
I guess I'm the troll then.
You gotta pay that troll toll if you want to get that boy's soul.
I feel like you're saying boy's hole. Like
you're slurring the words together, so it sounds like you're saying boy's hole. It's like, yeah, boy's hole.
Oh, it's always fun.
One of the greatest episodes of Always Sunny.
Because you can tell what I'm watching by the intro that I write each week. Because as I'm doing the notes.
You did, like, the last 2 days.
Yeah. Just marathon Sunny. Well, no, it's pretty relevant right now because in Batman issue 24, oh my goodness, big shocking news that was spoiled 2 days in advance before anyone got their hands on the last issue. Everyone saw the last page and it's like, Batman proposes to Catwoman, marry me, dun dun, clickbait. And it's like, oh my god, why... It's not even Tuesday.
Wait till like at least Wednesday morning. I don't know.
Yeah, wait for everyone else to post it on Reddit before you go spoil it.
Let somebody else do it. Don't be that dick.
Yeah, so like USA Today released their interview about the infamous last page. And Tom King, his response to this giant shocking news of Bruce proposing to Selina is, everyone's done vengeance, everyone's done the night is so dark. Giving Batman more pain doesn't reveal anything about his character because he's taken as much pain as he can. But giving him love and joy, that combines with the tragedy of his past into something new and never done before. Catwoman is someone who's seen his pain and has been through stuff as bad as he has been through. She says, look, both of us are broken, but we can be broken together. This is what I wanted.
This is a wonderful change of pace since literally like the last three story arcs is Bruce ready to die.
Yeah.
First issue of his run, he's pretty much saying his last words to Alfred on a plane. Or actually, no, not even to Alfred, just like in his head.
Well, no, he was talking to Alfred. He's like, would they be proud of me?
Right. And then he says, he has a freaking suicide note in, was it Iron Bane? Was that I Am
Bane? It was
Bane?
I Am Suicide.
I Am Suicide. And then I Am Bane, he's literally like, Alfred's like, you are going to die. And he's just smiling. He's like, yep, probably.
And that's, you know, I was talking about this with Kayla because I texted her. She's not keeping up on comics, but she heard it's like something big happened in Batman apparently. So I texted her to the last page and she's like, oh my God. And then I texted her the Tom King quotes and she just goes, oh my God, someone gets it. Someone understands. Because... again, like Tom King has said, everyone's done the vengeance. Everyone's done the dark nights, essentially. Night. And it's like, this character needs something else to drive him. Like, he does have his family, but we took the family away in the New 52, only to slowly rebuild it back in Rebirth. But it's still... you know, this character driven by so much rage and so much darkness, you know, it's finally nice to see a change of pace with this character going like, I need to have a life outside of being Batman. Even Greg Rucka, like in the Wonder Woman annual, Wonder Woman gives them the lasso so they can all understand each other. And it's like, oh, my name is Superman, Clark Kent. And then Batman just goes, I'm Batman. He doesn't even say Bruce Wayne because there's nothing else behind the persona.
Everyone knows Bruce Wayne is the mask for Batman.
Yeah, and it's like there's nothing else to this character anymore other than the Dark Knight. What I love about DC is the fact that all these characters do have these double lives, and whether or not those double lives intermingle, like Superman and Lois, but they need something else to drive them forward. Like, one of my favorite stories was Chuck Dixon's Nightwing run, where Dick was a cop, and then he was still operating as Nightwing in Bloodhaven. Using both personas of his life
to fight
crime. Or
Barry, where he's the CSI, and he's also trying to fight crime.
If you think about it, looking back at, like, from the beginning of Rebirth to now, every other person on Earth, you've seen their alternate like personality. Like
Aquaman is trying to be King of Atlantis, yeah, but not doing
or
great.
Or you see Superman going back to being Clark Kent, or...
Oliver dying, and Green Arrow taking the dominant role.
Or Flash going back to Barry. But you never see really Batman doing anything as Bruce Wayne.
It's like
Wayne.
You see everybody else. Like,
yeah, you see everyone else living their
Jason
normal.
Fucking Todd.
Jason well, Todd, you have Simon and Jessica. They all live their lives. But mm-hmm. then in every issue, you don't see Bruce Wayne living his life. It's Batman.
Have you guys read Lazarus Contract yet?
Finished yes. I've been working on it. I had a massive stack.
Can I swirl the under?
Sure. Well, you kind of already did with the whole West Coast or East Coast Titans.
That's not the real thing. So in the Titans annual or Lazarus Contract special number one, whatever you want to fucking call it, Damian's characterization went back like 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was so pissed. I had this argument with a coworker. Okay. I don't think he went backwards. He knew what he was doing. But if he went to the super spoiler scene at the very end and actually lived that, then you would see the remorse from him.
Yeah.
But we were missing that little tidbit of, because if he was there, you would see the character, like his character development that's been happening.
I do.
You would
agree
see
with
the
that.
Remorse in his face. You would see like, what have I done? Like my actions have seriously screwed up. I thought I knew everything, but we missed that little piece.
But again, that's one of the things I love about Damian's character, though, is the fact that I know everything, but we don't see the fallout of it. So basically, Damian stops Wally's heart.
Oh,
like straight up fun. Palms him in the heart, stops his heart for like 5 minutes or 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
So they can pull Slade back. But
yeah. But Wally, you know, ever since Wally came back into Rebirth, he's only been Flash. He's not Wally West. The only people he knows are his Titans.
Like I really want a Wally West just focused book, because he keeps mentioning it. It's like, well, I'm trying to make things work with Linda, but they really aren't. It's like, I want to see more of like his life.
That's actually what's happening in Titans now with Abnett's run. Okay. Because basically Wally goes to the doctor and it's like, well, yeah, your pacemaker's acting up. It's like, what, my pacemaker?
Or it's like, yeah,
what?
It's like your pacemaker's functioning normally. And everyone's like, whoa, pacemaker. It's like, oh yeah, from when Damien stopped my heart.
Oh.
So
that Wally. I was thinking Wally. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, Strawberry Wally.
Original Wally. OG West.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused.
Yeah, so Damien stopped Strawberry Wally's heart in the past.
Okay,
when he was Kid Flash, back when they were still the Teen Titans.
Because Deathstroke traveled back in time because he had powers. But Abnett said, you know, it's the thing of like letting other creators play in your toy box. It's like, yeah, I let Christopher Priest take full control of this story. And granted, you know, there's the really controversial Damian Wally scene. This sets up a really important arc for what I want Wally to do. Wally needs to be his own character again. He needs to, find what life is like not being the Flash, because that's all his life is, mm-hmm. is because, you know, he can't live his life. You know, he's keeping his whole identity a secret. So what is Wally West without the Flash?
Two things I want from Titans. Like, this upcoming, like, I guess this is technically Rebirth Year 2 at this point.
Yeah.
Two things I want. I want more Wally, like, actual Wally. Like, seeing his life outside of that, like we just talked about. Two, I want more Roy and Donna. I want them to interact more. I want them to have a
mini story.
So the
cover of the next Titans issue is Wally kissing Donna?
Damn it, Wally. No, let Roy have something.
Roy doesn't have anything.
I know.
The worst part.
That's the problem.
A poor little baby Roy.
So it's really cool. And again, this is what I'm really enjoying about Rebirth, is we finally see this really interesting dichotomy between the mask and the character. And I think that's fascinating, because we all the time with Marvel, we have these really big character-driven books with them being superheroes. Other than like Spider-Man, any of the Spiders, it's like, I still have this dual identity I need to worry about. Parker's dealing with Parker Industries and being Spider-Man. Miles is dealing with his parents and being Spider-Man. Gwen is dealing with the cops and being Spider-Woman. Like, the Spiders, I think that's what caters my interest so much to them. Even, like, the Iron Man titles right now, though, it's like, oh, Doctor Doom is Iron Man and Riri is Iron Man. Mm-hmm. What's gonna happen?
Right.
Because
then meanwhile, there's like so many other Marvel characters. Like, oh yeah, Carol Danvers, she's Captain Marvel. Kate Bishop is Hawkeye. Quint Barton is Hawkeye. Steve Rogers, Captain America. Like, everybody knows these people.
Yeah, so it's very interesting.
They finally got to that point in Captain Marvel where Steve was like, oh yeah, I brought down this planetary barrier, so fuck you.
Yeah.
Have fun trapped in space, motherfucker.
Well, they reset the shield, and then Carol's like, oh, you better not fucking see me next time.
Well, yeah, because they're like, all right, open the shield so we can get in, then turn it back on. He's like,
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, have fun in space.
Have fun with the Chitauri.
And then there was a pretty much, I'm going to kill you when I see you next.
Yeah, it was just like, I am going to destroy you like I just did to Tony.
Yeah, remember what I did to Tony?
Yep, good old Hydra. Anyways, one of the big things, though, that came out of this U.S. Today
talking
interview.
Talking to it. God damn it.
Sorry, I'm looking at my phone. One of the big things that came out of the USA Today interview is, like, Tom King saying, so what will Catwoman's answer be? Don't order wedding gifts from Gotham Target Registry just yet. In Batman number 25, Batman tells Catwoman that before she marries him, he needs to tell her about his darkest moment. So that starts off the war of jokes and riddles. So we won't find out. So it's like, ooh, plot device.
Oh, that seems like it's going to be a weird kind of setup of like, marry me, but before you do, let me tell you about this shit that's about to go down.
Well, it's like,
it's kind of like the, what, see me at my darkest moment, and if you still want, like, accept me.
And
then
even then,
you can handle me my diddliest.
Yeah.
Handle me my doodliest.
Even then, one of the people on Reddit was like, clearly an English major. It's like, okay, he says marry me, but the punctuation makes it seem like maybe he's asking her, or maybe he's doing it out of desperation. We're not really sure. We do know, like, on the rooftops, two issues that Mitch Gerards did with Tom King, they both admit that they love each other, but they can't be together. And now Bruce is trying to bring them closer together. It's like, am I asking you to marry me because I love you, or am I doing it as an act of desperation because I'm losing who I am? Because all the shit that constantly happens.
Lock that shit down.
What I really want, because, you know, this was my worry about the button, was that Batman's going to step down.
Right. Which, and I think everyone's just like, oh, they're destroying the character since...
Not really. No, if you look at Tom King's work... I think it
questions his resolve, but...
Yeah. If you look at Tom King's everything, it's like...
Everything has slowly, a purpose.
And even then, it's like he's slowly building up this giant army, essentially. You know, you have the detective crew, you have the Titans, you have the Teen Titans, you have the JLA. Is he finally wanting to step
Gotham
down?
Is Gotham finally sane again?
Yes.
That going to be in the epilogue?
It's in issue 24.
Okay.
24 is essentially the epilogue to everything that's happened. Okay. Yeah. It's such a good issue.
Have not read it yet.
Same.
Okay. Any hoozles. There's this thing called Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, they're going to try and make a live action Cowboy Bebop.
I saw the best image on Twitter. Somebody took of Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Andy Samberg, Terry Crews, and I can't remember her name, but the other... Andy Samberg's love interest.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember her name. But yeah. Somebody photoshopped all their hair onto him. It's the scene where they have the corgi.
It's like, God, it's perfect.
Life action Cowboy Bebop for you.
I want it to be good.
Can we leave it alone?
The soundtrack's gonna be great.
It better be.
Yeah, if they do not use the opening from Cowboy Bebop for the show, even just remix it a little.
Don't even remix it. Just reuse it.
So is this an American live action?
Yes.
Okay.
Not necessarily remix it, but maybe use a large orchestral production of it. Like,
it's going to be techno.
It's jazz. It's freaking
jazz. It's
going to
be like Great Gatsby, where they do big band jazz and add techno behind it. Freaking Jay-Z. God damn it. I'm still pissed about the Great Gatsby movie.
But yeah.
Have you ever heard the full intro to the Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tank is an amazing intro. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I just never seen the show still.
But you know they're not going to leave it alone.
I want them to.
They're not going to let it be the original piece. They're going to try and add
Fallout Boy is going to do it just like they did the Ghostbusters theme song.
Okay, the Fallout Boy Ghostbusters theme song was not bad.
Was not good.
Doesn't mean it was bad.
Serviceable? Is that the
word? It was accessible.
So the writer for it is Chris Yost, who wrote Thor Ragnarok.
He wrote Thor Dark World and Ragnarok.
Okay. And then it's being produced by the same studio that did Prison Break. So at least it's like...
There's some confidence
behind it.
That's it. And it depends on... Like, I think it could work as like a Fox show. Like, if they put it on Fox where Prison Break is and do it kind of how they do like a Fox drama, it could potentially work. The big thing, though, is they have to get the right actors.
Are any of them going to be Asian this time?
Well, no, well, they don't need to be.
Yeah, none of them were Asian to
begin
with.
It's a space western.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, the giant fallout from Ghost in the Shell.
But that...
I thought you were going to go Death Note.
Though, because... Go Death Note in Seattle. I don't really care that much. Well,
and see, they handled Death Note in Seattle right. They renamed the characters to make them Western. Instead of being
Westernized.
Yeah, here's this pasty white guy who's Light Yagami. It's they Americanized him. So when you can't really pull the whitewashing card on that one.
Yeah. No, no.
But I just want them to leave alone. Can we leave anime alone?
What if
there's
it's
a reason
like,
it's animated?
What if they're just going to get like all the actors from Psych and just do Cowboy Bebop? That'd be amazing.
I don't think any of them have... Nobody has the Steve Bloom voice.
Though. Yeah, no, I don't... And that's the thing, I don't think we're
going
to get...
What if Johnny Young Bosch? Yeah. Live action.
Live action Try Again?
Well, no, like he plays whatever main character.
Spike Spiegel.
Yeah. The blue-haired dude. Blue-haired on occasion. Isn't that Spike? Like, he's blue or green-haired, depending on,
I think
like,
it's supposed to be black, but I think it's just animated. Kind of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If they get a good Spike, it could be all right.
What about a good Ayn?
Just get a Corgi.
Most important Corgi. Ed could be a very hard role for them to nail.
Yeah.
Because Ed's such a weird character.
Is that the child?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all going to be hard roles to actually nail down, but... I want them to just not touch the story.
Yeah, can we
just do a, if you're going to do an adaptation, do a direct adaptation. I don't care about the whole, I want a new story. No.
Was Cowboy Bebop perfect. Ever on Adult Swim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
because
sure it was.
For a while I got Outlaw Star and Cowboy Bebop mixed up because they were on at the same time. And I love Outlaw Star so much.
Yeah, which is very easy to mix up.
They're in space. Yeah, they're both criminals.
They're both essentially space westerns.
Yeah. One's a pirate.
One's a bounty hunter.
Yes.
Exactly.
But it's if they just keep the story the same, don't try and Dragon Ball Evolution it.
I'll be curious to see, like, especially if they do stick with that story, like, the story has a definitive end.
Yes.
And...
Like, I don't want them to drag it out for, like, you could maybe make two seasons out of it.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see what, like, order of episodes they go with, because the first five are all, like, how are these connected? Like, they're all, like, kind of filler episodes. Yeah. Episode 5 is where it's like, oh, this is what the story's actually about.
I could see them maybe like starting episode 5, and then maybe like partway through the season throw in some of
those.
That's
actually the episode I recommend anyone watches is episode 5, Bout of the Fallen Angels.
Yeah, like maybe sprinkle those filler episodes through when they're like, all right, mid-season, we need something to kind of bridge the gap. A couple filler episodes.
I mean, they kind of did that in the original anyway. It's like,
right.
Here's a big story moment, and then we'll kind of like lay the seeds here and there throughout it.
I have a little more faith in it with the team behind it. Like, established writer who's writing 4, and then the same company that's done all of Prison Break, which is a phenomenal show.
I'm just imagining, like, all the CW/Fox crossover people. Like, we're going to see Leonard Snart as Spike Spiegel.
I don't know if Wentworth Miller would make a good Spike Spiegel.
Because Spike's a little more... he's serious, but he's more...
I could kind of see Stephen Amell doing it. He would have to put on his Arrow voice instead of his nice guy Oliver voice.
No, but Spike's more of a fun, but because he's trying to hide from his past the whole time, so that he's always lighthearted during the fights. He kind of messes with everyone.
They could just
a little bit, but he's not as like gravelly.
Well, I mean, to match the Steve Bloom voice, you'd have to go a little gravelly. But you know, just do whoever actor you want. Just have Steve Bloom do the lines, dub it over, done. Award-winning show. You're welcome.
God, I would feel horrible for those editors. It's like, oh God, we gotta line up the audio.
All right, mouth flaps. We just need you to like move your mouth as large and slow as possible.
It looks like the guy's just saying, rah, 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 rah.
It's just the bad lip-reading episode.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of live action stuff, though, Black Panther's teaser trailer went live this past weekend.
It looks so good.
I gotta give credit to Marvel Disney, because they give all of the Captain... just all of the Human Torch actors bigger and better roles.
Fantastic Four.
Like, look, I'm sorry, you know...
Fan-four-stick
didn't work out for you. You want to come work on Black Panther? Potentially be the bad guy? Though.
It's so funny because I was looking through the YouTube comments and it's a mix of, oh my God, this looks so awesome. And it's like, you know, I came in here expecting racist comments. I haven't seen any. This is great. Yay. I'm like, God, what world do we live in? But it's a teaser, and I...
Honestly, that's why I didn't look at the comments, because I was...
You're waiting
I was expecting, you know, there's going to be one person that's just, like, racist comments. Like,
I do love that Andy Serkis comes back as Ulysses Klaue, just being like, Wakanda that we see is...
It's all a front.
It's a front. And like, I'm like,
what do you think
it's like the North Korea conspiracy.
Like, what do you think of when you hear Wakanda, a third world country?
All a front. Nobody. I'm the only group that's made it back.
It took a while for me to notice, like, he was missing. I was like, is this before Age of Ultron? And then you see just the floppy sleeve. I'm like, yeah.
Because he's the only one who's was traded, like, going in and stealing.
Yeah, that's how he had the vibranium.
Yeah, because Wakanda has just, like, giant... Yeah,
they have deposits mines. Of vibranium.
Yeah, they have giant mines, and then their country is hidden from the world. Like, remember, there's, like, the little waterfall you go through.
Yeah.
And then you see the giant fucking
panther statues.
Yeah, my favorite thing is just the It's Always Sunny crowd. It's like, why can't we just call them Panthers? We don't have to say black every time, right? That was like the top rated YouTube comment when I went on to it. I'm like, God, it's spreading. Thank you. But it looks cool. Like, I like the actors that they have. I don't know what the story is or anything.
Which is perfect for a teaser trailer. Marvel is actually getting... what a teaser trailer should
show
be.
Show anything else.
Just show random clips that mean nothing when put next to each other. And then just release a normal trailer later.
When we were hanging out with Joe yesterday, and he was telling us that the last time he went to the movies, there was a Doctor Strange trailer, and he walked out of the theater for three minutes. Yeah.
Just so he wouldn't have it spoiled.
Because he doesn't want to watch trailers. Because
I was about to say, I'm about to cut a bitch.
Because I can't remember if I said, like, when Wonder Woman's starting, they showed the third Spider-Man trailer. I was like, no, I don't want to watch this. I don't want it spoiled anymore.
Well, that's what, like, when the second one came out, we told Joe, it's like, hey, don't watch this. They spoil a lot of the story.
See, and I didn't watch the second one. I've seen the first and the third at this point, because the third was in front of Wonder Woman. And I'm like, I don't feel like getting up out of my seat. I'm comfortable and reclined already.
The second trailer spoils pretty much all of the big points, like, of the story.
Did you want the whole movie in two minutes?
Yeah, which makes me kind of sad. I'm still going to go see it, but it still makes me upset that they're like, hey, you know, this big movie's coming out. Here's the general story.
Okay, so after the premise of Civil War, King T'Challa returns home to Wakanda, but soon finds his sovereignty challenged by factions with his own country. When two enemies conspire to bring down the kingdom, T'Challa must team up as the Black Panther with CIA agent Everett K. Ross, played by Martin Freeman, and the members of the Dora Milaje, Wakanda Special Forces, to prevent a world war. That's cool. Michael B. Jordan is playing Eric Killmonger, a Wakandan exile who seeks to overthrow T'Challa. So he's actually the villain.
Yeah, from the name alone, I would assume he was a
Killmonger.
Villain. Killmonger. Name one nice guy that has kill in his last name. That's a good guy.
No, I don't got
nothing.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head is Kilgrave, and he is a terrible person.
Yeah. So Lupita Nyong is playing Nakia, T'Challa's love interest. Everett K. Ross, Martin Freeman, Danai Gurira Okoye. I just don't know how to say anyone's name. I'm just not gonna even try. But, like, apparently everyone had to get, like, super ripped for the movie, because all of Wakanda is, like, you know, they're all trained warriors.
Yeah, they're a warrior
super
tribe.
Super high tech.
Was it Hickman's run of Avengers where they go to Wakanda and it's, like, people still wearing robes, but they're building rocket ships?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I remember. God, I would love to see. I'm interested in this. I mean, again, it's... For once, it's finally a teaser, and it's not a trailer that has a joke every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're trying to be serious.
Oh my God, whose phone is vibrating? You're killing me here.
Not me.
Somebody's phone is vibrating.
It's not me. I'm on do not disturb mode now.
I'll put mine on silent as well.
Andy Serkis is coming back as Ulysses Klaue. Ooh.
Any bets on
that? Oh, he has an arm cannon.
I was going to say, any bets what the end credit scene is going to be?
Bucky. Bucky's released.
I was assuming it was going to be Klaue getting his claw.
He's actually sitting in a chair petting a cat at that point. Then Inspector Gadget busts out.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Oh, gosh. Again, freaking Reddit also blew up this week because they thought they finally figured out Zendaya's character from Spider-Man.
It came out who she is.
It's not fully confirmed.
No.
In the novelization, they mention the character's name, but they don't say the last name. So it was speculated that it was Tombs, that she's playing Vulture's daughter. But the poster that came with the junior novelization doesn't have a last name on it still. So, like, this is the most guarded secret of the MCU. This is the
one thing we haven't had spoiled in that whole goddamn trailer.
That's going to be the Spider-Man end credit scene. It's like, my name's not actually Michelle. It's Mary Jane. Like, fooled you all.
Except we didn't, because everyone's like, oh. Okay,
well, they've already showed you Mary Jane is when they're staring at the group of girls walking by, and they're like, oh, MJ. Like, wait,
really?
Yeah, they straight up call her out as Mary Jane.
There's Liz in the movie.
Yeah.
We see there's production photos leaked of Spider-Man carrying a redhead girl away. We've also seen a blonde girl with a black headband. So it's like, oh, is that Gwen Stacy? So literally every single love interest.
It's literally Spectacular Spider-Man.
Rest in peace.
Every single one of his love interests is in high school with him.
The best show ever. I miss that show.
It's so good.
I have it all on DVD. Have you seen it?
I saw a good portion of it. It's so good. I saw like the first chunk of it and then somehow watched the last episode.
It's so good. I love that show so much.
I started getting into it, and I was like, oh, that was a good last episode. When's the next season coming? Oh.
Canceled.
Neato. I love when you tried to, like, analyze the theme songs. It's like, what does this mean?
It means he's the spectacular Spider-Man.
Well, no, it's like swinging on the edge, fighting crime, spinning webs, getting there in the speed of time. Right. That's the quote. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, no, getting there at the speed of time. It's like, what is that?
But speaking of happy-go-lucky teenage superheroes, the Titans TV series is officially in development. It's being filmed in the fall because this is part of DC's web service. Crap, did I put the wrong link? Click. Screen Rant. Okay. So, after years stuck in developmental hell, DC's Titans will start rolling cameras later this year. While Marvel is slowly pumping out more and more TV series, DC has been going strong for years with the number of live-action shows. The Arrowverse is currently 4 TV shows strong with a number of other DC heroes scattered across different networks. So, Titans was originally announced in 2014 with Robin and his friends joining the television, and then TNT axed it, and then...
Well, 'cause it was supposed to be like a... Birds themed Titans team,
right?
Because it was Robin, Raven, Hawk, and Dove, and I think
I've seen them.
And then they axed that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like Nightwing and all of his love interests. Yes. The show.
So Nightwing plus Birds of Prey, got it.
Yeah. So the news lines began reporting that Johns has officially begun writing the scripts of the show. So having a Jeff Johns controlled show, it's gonna be freaking awesome. It's gonna be filmed in Atlanta. And yeah, so with the Titans theme show, who do you want to be in it,
like actor wise or like character wise?
Characters.
Well, you gotta have Nightwing. I would love to see Starfire.
Do you want Nightwing or do you want Robin?
Ooh.
Like, do you like how? Because again, it's the stupid dichotomy. Of,
I
like,
would
Dick
prefer
Grayson.
Nightwing. Yeah. I think Nightwing is a better version of who Dick Grayson is. I think established at this point as Nightwing. It's like everyone knows, like, oh, he was Robin, but he hasn't been Robin for so long.
Right, and we do know that Beast Boy is officially confirmed in the show, too.
Okay.
So
I would love to see Raven and Starfire along with that. Maybe an Aqua? It would be amazing if they used Calderon.
Right.
That would just be
Well, with Young Justice coming awesome. Back, too.
I know.
We're probably going to get Garth at that point.
Yeah, Garth would be fine. Anyway, we've already seen a Roy. It'd be kind of cool to see. Well, we already have to like two kind of
bring
like,
back
Spellcaster.
Mia or Cassie. It'd
be kind of cool to see. I feel like they should do Donna. Like with the success of Wonder Woman, it'd be cool to see Donna Troy show up.
So they did talk about how since this is being filmed in the fall, they're not going to be ready for a San Diego Comic-Con trailer. And then the show probably would officially launch in 2018 just because of all the production, which is kind of a bit of a bummer. But it's like, I don't watch TV already, so I'm going to need to find time to watch it at some point. Like, I just finished wrapping up on Flash finally after last week, and then I'm watching iZombie now. I'm a whole season behind.
Aren't they on like season 4 already?
Yeah, and they got renewed.
Are they like putting out a season like every 6 months?
Yeah, they're basically on the same track as the other CW shows.
Damn.
So when the
production schedule's crazy,
when the superhero shows end, iZombie starts. Damn. Because it's like the in between. Which worried me, because it's like, ooh, is iZombie going to get renewed? Is Rahul Kohli going to get a job?
And then he went, came out and explained, he's like, no, I just, whenever I'm not filming, I just move out of apartments, which just seems fucking insane to me, but.
It makes sense. It's like, oh dear God, I'm stuck in this country for 6 months, so might as well live here. Like, apparently there's like a giant CW conglomerate house that bunch of people live in during production.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, the door is, thank God we're replacing it, because that top of the door will get stuck.
I think it needs to be shaved down or something, but since we're replacing it.
Hey, Steve.
Yo.
Who do you want to see in the Titans TV show?
Character-wise?
Roy.
That was fast.
I was going to say, we've already seen Roy in Arrow.
Yeah, but I miss his character from Arrow. Like, he had such a good character going. He started building a story, and then he left the show. So I'd love to see him come back in that role. Probably not going to happen since he's busy with his other projects, but...
Yeah, I think the one TV show he was in got canceled. The Grinder or something like that.
Yeah, but that would mean that they would have to connect that universe with the Arrowverse. Yeah, or have some very loose cool explanation of...
Dimensions.
Ooh,
I mean, they've already teased the Legion of Superheroes and Supergirl, so it's kind of like...
We're Earth 72.
Earth 16. Ah!
Well, you know, depending on your Earth 16, because that's also the Young Justice world, or the...
Exactly.
DC Just Me universe from Multiversity, where all the superheroes are celebrities. That is true. Why do I know this? God.
Because you're DC trash.
Well, that one's a little more.
You're DC and Star Wars.
I remember
trash.
That one. Speaking of which, when is Multiversity 2 supposed to come out?
Limbo.
I don't even know what Grant Morrison is working on right now.
He is the editor-in-chief at Heavy Metal. He has one comic at Boom and a couple of comics at Heavy Metal. You know, he does Claws, his Sansa year one comic. It's freaking awesome. Like, he gets like this bag, and it's like, oh, it's all Santa's gifts, and he just pulls out a battle axe. I'm like, Grant Morrison, what?
Destroying your childhood.
Brain. Yeah.
Your childhood is never happy. It's all fucked up.
It's great, though. This weekend, I saw Wonder Woman for the second time. Took my mom out. Steve, I have not told you the story.
The story is pretty...
As soon as I got out, I'm like, I have a story for the podcast.
You texted me like, I have quite the story for a podcast.
So,
not sure if this is the movie's goal, but I appreciate it so much.
I told Zach because I just couldn't contain myself. But, so, you know, I walked out. My mom was like, wow, that was really good. I want to go watch it again. And this is my mother, who likes superhero movies but doesn't go to the theaters ever. She's like, do you want to take me again? I'm like, you can go with Joe, because Joe hasn't seen it yet. I might actually go see it for a third time, though, because it's just such a good movie. It's such a great theater experience.
I do want to go see it again.
But I'm waiting for my mom. She's in the bathroom doing things. And I see these two little girls come out, and they're like, oh, that was so great. They're both in like little Wonder Woman shirts or a dress. And then they start play fighting like at Diana at the beginning of the movie. And then the younger sister just goes... I am an Amazon, and just decks her older sister right in the eye, and the other girl just falls back, and I'm just sitting there like, holy shit, she's like, I am an Amazon, and the older sister's on the ground crying, yelling for their dad, and the dad's just sitting there in shock.
I don't think that was the expected outcome, but she got the message.
I would have had to run out of that theater, otherwise I would have laughed right out there.
I was just sitting there staring. I'm like,
Should I eat my popcorn?
Just do this slow.
But so watching the movie again, I came to a conclusion. What made Wonder Woman and essentially what made some of the other DC movies so great was that it's a movie that essentially embraces the aspect of heroism. Freaking The Atlantic came out with this article as I was having these thoughts, and it discusses how Superman Returns, Man of Steel, and everything came out that had this, you know, darker, more grounded take, kind of like The Dark Knight did for Nolan's films. And Snyder's film being about a hero largely alienated by humans, unsure of his purpose on Earth, and compelled to save the planet only when a hostile invader draws him out. But Wonder Woman is kind of the opposite of that, where it's a character who comes on screen and comes out to be essentially a hero. She embraces this idea of heroism. The Amazons are created to save the world, to save man from themselves. And, this is what I do.
The whole time, she's just like, oh, it's not the people. It's Ares causing all this. It's all him. It can't be these people because they're humans were created to be good.
Yeah, and Ares corrupted humans and started wars, and it can't be them. It has to be this supernatural force.
Right, in which she realizes when Steve's just like, no, maybe we are just terrible people.
Ever think that just humans are bad people?
But like when I was watching it, I'm like, you know, Diana's character herself just embraces heroism. She's so optimistic about everything. It's like, let's go to the war. Let's go to the war. You said you'd take me into the war. Steve, Trevor, where is the war? And it's like, oh, Diana. And then, you know, same thing last week where we talk about that whiplash of, you know, she's at the train station, all these soldiers are singing, cheering, drinking, she gets some ice cream, and then shell shock, missing limbs everywhere. It's like, oh my God. But Diana's character is still like, I am doing this to be the hero. It's, you know, she's serving no greater purpose other than saving the world. Kind of in the same fashion, you know.
No small deed is too small for her.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Zack Snyder's versions of Batman and Superman. Superman only wanted to go save the world when it was actually threatened. Batman wanted to save the world from Superman because he could be seen as a threat. And, you know, we had Batfleck in the center of Metropolis.
Even if there's a 1% chance.
Yeah, and it's like, those characters have their heroism shifted to be a little more like self-conscious, almost.
Their heroism is only to fill their own goals.
Right. And this is why I love so much about Diana. And Wonder Woman was like, she's there to save the world because it's not, she wants to better society itself.
She hears it's like, oh, there's a war with humanity. I have to go help.
And what I love so much more about the movie is that even the B characters, you know, you got Sammy, you got Chief, you got Irishman, I'm spacing on his name.
Scottish man.
I can't remember his name either.
But he has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, a lot of people said these B-list characters are so left for more, you know, they're so underrated because they really didn't do anything. But all these B-list characters, plus Steve Trevor, were not selfless in the slightest. You know, they did it for each other, they did it for Trevor, they did it to better society themselves. And I think that's one of the things Marvel movies lack, because the Marvel movies are like, oh, the superheroes will take care of things.
Oh, there's this big world-ending threat I have to go stop.
Marvel movies are essentially self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
You go in and you know exactly what you're going to get.
It's like, oh, hero's going to decide. Yeah, so you realize get that moment what has of, to be done.
Like, oh, hero with a snappy one-liner. Oh, there's the cosmic threat. Oh, there's the hero who failed to stop them
no
the first time.
No one else does anything in the Marvel movies. And that's what I love about Wonder Woman, especially, is like, you know, all the B-list characters come up. It's like, we're going to help you, Diana. We're going to be heroes, too. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is what every movie's been missing.
Or even like in the trench scene where she just climbs out of it and she inspires everybody. They're like, yeah, they're oh,
like,
hey, look,
they're she's drawing the fire. Go.
I cry during that scene every time.
Every time.
Easily one of the greatest action scenes. Well, and then the fucking where she's just going through the town amazing.
I saw my favorite article of like, Steve Trevor is the best superhero movie girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, even Suicide Squad, as many
complaints there can be, these characters, this some kind of Suicide Squad, those guys ended up becoming heroes themselves. Not for the fact it's like, oh, we need to save our own asses, but it's like apocalyptic threat.
Yeah, well, if we don't stop this, we're all fucked anyway.
They had an out, too. They're like, yeah, go ahead, you're done, whatever, go fuck off. And they're like, no, let's go do the right thing.
Yeah, and that's what I like about the DC movies. Like, even, you know, granted, Marvel has been doing this longer. But Steve Rogers, his Howling Commandos, Bucky, you know, even converting Wanda over to the good side. Those characters, they didn't need any. They took convincing. They're like, oh, you need to do this because you can go die or you can do the right thing. Or you can do nothing.
I think the Captain America movies have done it the best. Like, especially at the end of Winter Soldier, where it's like they finally realize, it's like, oh, Hydra's been infiltrating all of them, and then all Steve is that symbol of like, hey, you can either just sit there and let this happen or stand up for what's right.
So they could have been like, Hydra took over. Well, I quit now, I guess, but
yeah, but so there's like, all those no, agents are always like, no, fuck that.
Yeah. Again, it's so weird to like look at all these different kind of superhero movies, and you know, Wonder Woman especially is like this very, it's unafraid to like show this concept of heroism rather than, you know, the superhero being like this godly figure like Iron Man would be, or even to a small degree.
Diana is a very godlike figure.
She's God. Like Steve Rogers, even, you know, he can do whatever he wants. Wonder Woman's out there inspiring other people to do the right thing. Like, again, the only instance of that in any of the Marvel movies is Hawkeye looking at Wanda. It's like, all right, let's go. I'm a dude with a bow and arrow. I'm making this really serious moment something kind of funny, so let's go fight. And it's like, ah, damn it.
I mean, that's kind of what Clint does, though. He masks all his fear with humor.
That's fair.
He's like, I'm freaking out here fighting robots with a goddamn bow and arrow. Like, if you freaking magic.
Like, there was
you're enhanced.
There was a post on Reddit that I just loved where it was the Wonder Woman poster, and it had some text. I can't remember what it said, but someone posted below. It's like, you know, I don't think I like the message that this movie is giving out. Some posts like, so what? You don't like the fact that there is a strong female lead who's helping fight a war? It's like, no, the fact that people think DC can make great movies now, I don't like that expectation.
I still love that movie.
It's going to hold Justice League to such a high regard now.
Especially with Justice League going under reshoots right now.
It gives me more hope for Justice League.
Yeah, hopefully. I really want it to be good. It's the same thing. It's like, all right, they did it once. Can they do it again?
Is this a lightning in the bottle moment, or is this they've got their stride?
Because a lot of people were expecting, like, this was great. This is probably the best we're going to get, though. That's what I've heard.
I really do appreciate Patty Jenkins, though. Like, she did such a phenomenal job. She was the second director for Wonder Woman because the original director stepped out after it being like developmental hell. And then she's like, I got this. And she even said, it's like, originally I would not have picked Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, but the more I got to know her and the more I got to see her, and I realized that's my Diana. Well,
I was talking with John at HOJ about that. He was one of the people who, when they first announced Gal Gadot as
I think everybody was
Wonder
like,
Woman, he's like, no, what? I don't. Who? I don't.
The Fast and Furious chick?
It's like, I don't get that. And then he told me, he's like, yeah, after this movie, yeah, no, I can't believe I ever thought that.
That's how I feel about Batfleck, even. It's like, Ben Affleck, Daredevil is Batman. Yeah. And then you see him on screen, it's like, yep. Okay.
Like, sold. As soon as he starts talking, like, you're all right, Batfleck. You're all right.
Even J.K. Simmons is Commissioner Gordon. We've heard that him speak stash. One line, but he has the stash.
Wonder if there's going to be a scene where he rips off his coat and you just see his swole body.
he's just wailing on a parademon.
Yeah, parademon comes down and, like, comes to destroy the bat scene. He's like, let's go.
Alfred's over there with his shotgun, too. I'm just
click, click.
I think that's my favorite thing about the new 52 is that someone gave Alfred a shotgun.
That was Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
And then he lost his hand because of it.
And then he got another shotgun. And now we have the first ally.
My favorite Alfred is still the Injustice Alfred.
Oh, he takes the Miraculu or the pill.
Yeah, the nanotech pill and beats the shit out of Superman. And then holds him and is like, I'm disappointed, headbutts him, and then drops him and takes Batman away.
Did you read the latest Injustice comic?
No.
I cried like a bitch.
With your Booster and Ted?
Booster comes back. It's like,
yeah, you're like, this is what I wanted.
I'll be there till the end. And it's like, oh, that's nice. And it's like, I've tried to stop this 3 times. Ted, you need to suit up. I'm like, motherfucker.
It's like, I try to stop this. I get captured. I try again. I'm like 5 years older than the first time I tried this.
Booster.
And then, just, and then fades away.
And again, it's like the best thing. It's like, of all of the DC superheroes, Batman and Superman are the only ones who realize Booster is a legitimate hero, but they can't say anything. I think Booster's trapped in a freaking Ozymandias's stupid prison.
Well, you saw the like fan theory that he's like trapped as Wave Rider right now.
Yeah.
Since when Barry and Bruce were in the Speed Force, so like Barry pointed out, I was like, this looks way different than I remember.
Booster's the only thing holding the old time stream together.
Yeah.
He's actually sitting there having a fist fight with Manhattan right now.
Again, like, I still don't think Manhattan's in the game. Back. It's all Oz. So, like, Ozymandias has Tim Drake, possibly Ray Palmer, Doomsday. Prophecy, Doomsday, possibly future Tim Drake.
Does he have Mixel Plague from the
Batman
again?
Beyond. I think Mixel Plague just went away. Just
poofed.
Yeah. Probably has Ray Palmer, probably has Booster, probably has, like, Bart Allen, the original Young Justice team, because we still haven't seen Cassie or Connell.
Has the rest of the Legion.
Don't bring up the Legion.
He's just got all of the teams that everyone wants. We're like, I'll release the Legion today. You're
Where's
welcome.
Where's Shazam at? Still, yeah. Shazam's been MIA since Hellblazer Rebirth.
Yeah, Billy Batson's just kind of chilling in the prison somewhere. Can't say the word.
Mazashish. Yes. Anyways, again, I just really appreciated Wonder Woman more than anything else. And the fact that this little girl like decked her sister. That was freaking awesome.
I am an Amazon.
I felt so bad. That girl probably has a black eye right now.
Well, she learned her lesson. Don't fuck with an Amazon. Either that or she's going to train herself up and slowly we'll have two Dianas just decking each other. Be like, I am the Amazon.
This is just Diana and Donna. One thing that bugs me though lately... and I understand this happens regardless in all the superhero movies, is that they're, I was listening to the Wonder Woman soundtrack like very closely, and then you hear the amen cadence where it's like a 4-to-1 note switch, and that's the moment where Diana goes up and she's in the Jesus pose and then shoots lightning back at Ares, or spoilers. Or in Spider-Man, we have him in the trailer in the Jesus pose holding the ship together.
Well, it's like, that goes all the way back to Man of Steel, too, when he blasts out Zod's ship and he goes out, and then instead of just kind of floating down, just goes right into the Christ pose. And like, huh,
that's there was a
solid Jesus imagery
there
right
was
there.
There was a guy at DCC last year who was writing a book on all the Christ imagery in all the different Superman movies. I'm going to see if I can track him down again.
Well, have you watched the Nostalgia Critic review of Man of Steel?
No.
He points that out, like, where when he goes in the pose, you just hear someone shouting in the background, I am Jesus! I am Jesus!
Even Batman vs. Superman, when Superman dies, you know, he's being nestled by Lois, and it's like, oh, that's a famous... Magdalene. Yeah, that's the famous Renaissance painting.
Oh, and shockingly, what did he die by? A spear.
What? Someone posted a picture. I'm not sure if it's photoshopped or not, but it's Superman in the coffin, and he's just holding a cup of coffee waiting.
Any minute now.
Gotta wait. I'm so glad that they haven't shown Superman, though, in any of the Justice League trailers.
Off, they do. The only thing, though, is they release like, the images for the Mattel Justice League toys, and Superman is part of it, just in his normal suit.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah, like they could easily just be like, yeah, Justice League, Superman.
Yeah, everyone's been photoshopping him into all the Justice League posters. I just don't want to see how he comes back. Like, I did not want to know Doomsday was in the movie the week before I saw it. And someone on our freaking Xbox Live party said it.
We went over this. It was the CW.
Right.
Because we were watching Arrow, doing our Arrow chat. And you just text in the group chat, wait, Doomsday's in this?
The week before I saw the movie, I was doing so well.
And my reply was just like, ... I'm not going to watch any more Justice League trailers.
You'll
like,
be my doomsday.
Like what?
Your doomsday.
Like what they have right now is perfect for me.
Yeah.
I don't want anything else. Well, I'll be like, hey, look, there's an S on a black suit. Weird. Like, no.
Get out of here. It's Kara Zor-El.
Go, go, go.
It's Connor.
That's the twist in Justice League. Clark is gone, but Kara just shows
it's
up.
It's the Metropolis kid.
Oh, God. It's Connor.
Cyborg Superman, is that you?
Eradicator.
Destroy.
Steel, where'd you come from?
God.
Although Kara could be in an upcoming Superman movie. There is still that giant cliffhanger sort of thing from Man of Steel where he goes into the Kryptonian ship. There's an open chamber.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about like the weird prequel comic where Kara actually lands and then the Amazons are the descendants of her. And I'm so glad that prequel comic is not in the canon.
Thank God. God, yes. That would be very, very weird.
Again, I did watch and I realized with all of the gods dead, essentially, they either get reborn or Shazam comes along. And that's how they explain Shazam having all the powers. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, because that would make sense.
Okie doke. I think that's everything that I had to talk about. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Discussion? Comments? Yeah,
we can do that.
Masturbate. Recommendations?
Masturbate. We can do discussion.
Overwatch?
Anyone Masturbate. Have anything to talk about?
Huh?
Anyone have anything to talk about?
Does anyone have a discussion? We have the list.
Yeah, I have a small one that probably won't take long, but...
Do it
anyway.
The entire moral code of the Jedi Order is someone saying do it once.
Exactly once.
So, or Aerie saying do it once. Because he did that moment, I was like,
do it.
Damn you, Sidious.
I will destroy you.
As she's deadlifting a tank.
Yeah. Do it. But, so, we had a sad passing yesterday.
Oh, fuck. How did we not talk about that
I didn't
already?
Put that in purpose.
Yeah. But, you know, what would you say is Adam West's greatest influence for DC Comics as a whole?
I think just looking at him, though, like his prolific career, like how often he plays parodies of himself. You have Adam West in Family Guy, you have Adam West in Futurama, you have Adam West in The Fairly Odd Parents. Like, he was the reason why Batman came back.
So, like, I think he is the resurgence of live-action Batman. Like, yes, his show was incredibly campy. Like,
it's the best show ever.
Dear God. So
shark
campy.
Repellent.
He actually a real thing.
He jumped the shark.
Yeah, shark repellent is actually the scent of a dead shark. Because a shark will turn away from that if they smell another dead shark. Like, wow, something killed another shark.
I don't think that scene is so much more like afterwards the shark fucking explodes.
Yeah. Or it's like shark repellent.
But yeah, I do agree that he does have like this resurgence. Like he was essentially what kicked off all these superhero live action adaptations coming.
Like there was like a live action Superman and a live action Wonder Woman way back in like black and white TV days.
But Wonder Carter was in color.
No, there was a
that was 77.
Yeah, there was a Wonder Woman before that, but it
was it really?
It was like the campy like. Well, the good American of, values Superman, where he
yeah,
comes
the
in.
Yeah, the Adventures
like,
of Lois and Clark with the...
Even before that.
What, okay, I thought that was the black and white one.
There was one way back when it was just like Superman would like come into a building and be like, all of you should respect your elders and go to school in American values.
I agree with all of those statements.
I do, but it was like super cheesy of like, we're going to use Superman to get all of you to listen to us. But then came the Adam West Batman. And like, this isn't Batman.
Weird.
But that kind of led Batman Renaissance,
right? Because it fit with like the tone that Batman had at the time, where it was kind of campy and
it was
cheesy.
The silver gold age,
yeah. Where it's like there's all these ridiculous plot lines, ridiculous villains.
I need to wear this rainbow costume so no one notices that Richard Grayson broke his arm.
I think he opened the door for people to have a somewhat free reign of Batman.
Yeah.
So that led to like the Super Friends Batman, and then Batman the Animated Series, and the Tim Burton Batman.
So the Batman the Animated Series is what I want to talk about, especially because Beware the Gray Ghost. Last night I sat because I'm trying to freaking learn how to use a pencil and draw. So I drew three characters. I drew Batman 66 based on a live action image of him. I drew Catman from Fairly Odd Parents, and then I drew the Gray Ghost, Simon Trent. And Beware the Gray Ghost is one of my favorite episodes of Batman the Animated Series because it's, you know, the Gray Ghost is like, oh, my career, my everything was nothing. No one ever appreciated it. And, you know, Bruce Batman's like, they're in the cave, and the Grey Ghost goes like, this looks like your cave. I know. I made it this way. I want to show you something, and takes him over to like this giant display case of all of this Grey Ghost memorabilia.
Oh my God.
And it's like, my father and I used to watch you. You were the inspiration behind what I do as Batman. And it's like, that's kind of like the perfect thing for Adam West.
It's it was the greatest homage to Adam West, especially since he was playing the Grey Ghost, of like, look, everything you did as Batman in your show, it's like, yes, it might have, you know, it kind of has fallen to the wayside, but it was such an inspiration to so many people that we have this now, and we have Batfleck, and we have the Christian Bale Batman.
Yes.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, we have a superhero that has lived through generations and will continue to live for a long time because
bankrupt.
Even if they go bankrupt, someone else will snatch up the Batman property and introduce it to a new generation.
Well, 66 was kind of the reason DC started going bankrupt. Then Michael Upton? I can't remember his name. I have his book upstairs, The Boy Who Loved Batman, but he bought the Batman properties.
Yeah, there's going to be someone who loves Batman enough to keep it going.
Yeah.
And it kind of started from that generation of Batman, and his live action series helped get it to a broader audience.
Yeah, like everyone likes to jokingly crap on all over Batman 66, but it's like everyone recognizes its importance. Like our DC,
it just shows like you can have fun with Batman,
or you can enjoy this character without reading a comic book. Like there are probably people who probably don't even know Batman as a comic book. Probably little kids who don't know Batman's a comic book character, but love the movies. Or at the time didn't know Batman was a comic book, but they saw the TV show and like, this is nice. I like this.
Yeah. And it's even when Batman 66 came back in comic form, it was still super entertaining because it's like, this is so great. I don't have to read the doom and gloom of Batman. I just get to enjoy this character again.
Gets to do all these silly team ups with like Green Hornet and all these other like silver and gold age characters.
Yeah, he teamed up with the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I'm like, what? This is so cool.
I'm trying to think, who he teamed up with, like a random actor, I think.
It was so there's Batman 66, there's Batman meets Wonder Woman 77, Green Hornet, Scooby-Doo.
I think that was one of the weirder ones, like Batman 66 teams up with Scooby-Doo.
And then there is the Man from U.N.C.L.E., and I think it was Wonder Woman meets Bionic Woman. I can't remember. I think Jeff Parker is the writer on most of those. But he is such a phenomenal actor because, again, he plays up that campy role everything that he's been in. Like, I remember watching Family Guy hearing Adam West, like, good thing I swallowed this inflatable boat, and pulls it out of his throat and then just sits in it. And it's like, I'm safe.
Yeah. Like one of my favorites is like, I think it's like a musical number that they did. And Adam West like sitting in the back of the room. It's like, wow, everyone's singing. I'm going to sing too. Adam West, a little bit softer now as he goes under the table. It's like
it's always funny because
he is a parody of himself.
Yeah. It's like Adam West as Adam West.
Yeah. Like, even again,
or in Lego Batman.
Lego Batman. It's me, TV's Adam West, and you have to save him. And that's kind of the same thing from a Fairly Odd Parents. It's me, TV's Adam West playing Catman.
Yeah. And like I think it was like the remote control episode where Timmy goes into the TV. And, like, they have a taxi come pick up the fairies, and it's Adam West's voice, like, hi, I'm TV's Adam West, reminding you to buckle up.
Yep.
Like, he's just...
It's, like, the majority of kids at the time probably watching there. Yeah. Like, who the hell is Adam West?
I had no
West?
Fucking idea who Adam West was, but my parents were like, Adam West.
Yeah. So, Jeff Parker in the Batman 66 has done crossovers with the Man from U.N.C.L.E., TV's The Avengers, like the original spy agency.
Yeah.
Steed and Mrs. Peel, Wonder Woman, and then the Green Hornet one. And that's it. And then again, you know, the jokey Scooby-Doo team up, where they even say, it's like, you look a lot different than we last saw you, Batman. Just kind of like.
Oh, yeah, because of the animated.
Yeah.
The new Adventures of Scooby-Doo, where they teamed up with Batman and Robin. And also teamed up with Phyllis Diller and
Don. Did you guys ever watch Return of the Caped Crusader? The Batman 66 film?
No,
the new animated one? It's so good.
Where they had Adam West and Burt Ward and I can't remember who played Catwoman, but they had,
Yeah.
They all came back to do their roles.
And then they were doing a sequel, and I think it finished. Maybe. But freaking Captain Kirk is going to be Two-Face in it.
William Shatner?
Yeah, that one. Again, I just kept watching Wonder Woman. I'm like, why is Chris Pine still on a motorcycle? What is everyone's fascination with this concept?
I would love it. It was like a sequel that came out that... Who was the one who directed the motorcycle sequence? Was it James Woo?
James Wan.
James Wan.
No, it wasn't. No? I'll look it up.
But like, I would love if like he secretly came and be like, yes, I helped direct that scene.
It was me.
We needed to get him there fast. And I'm like, what could we give Chris Pine?
What was the third Star Trek movie called?
Into the Beyond. Beyond.
Yeah, it was just Star Trek Beyond.
Which was super good.
Surprisingly, everyone thought it was gonna be. I even thought it was gonna be trash. I'm like, this looks dumb.
It was so under.
Everyone,
Justin Lin, the other
Justin Lin, that's character. Right. Like, yeah, yeah, well, no, everyone's like, oh, this looks like so standard science fiction action movie.
Yeah, like the one
trailer. But that was the trailer.
So I only ever saw one trailer for it. I was like, oh, that's neat, and then forgot about it, and then it came out. I'm like, oh yeah, there's another Star Trek movie.
Well, it's like
I have no idea what the plot is.
Simon Pegg even came out and said, if you've only seen the trailer, you have not seen the Star Trek movie.
Right, because it's like the most Star Trek of all the movies.
Yeah.
Which is really ironic based on the trailer.
Yeah, Kayla and I cried like a bitch during that movie,
too. God, that sabotage scene. Oh, so good. Give me the chills.
Yeah. Well, it's like, the passing of...
Anton Yelchin.
Not the other one. What's his name?
Oh, Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy, because they mentioned in past... It's a plot point. It's like, oh yeah, Spock died. He wanted us to give you this, and it's them all in the classic Star Trek uniform.
Oh my God.
Like a cast photo. I'm like, oh, motherfucker. And then the Anton Yelchin scene at the end, and then, you know, John Cho's character's gay, and everyone's like, God, this is so Star Trek.
Yeah.
But again, the sabotage scene. Oh.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
So good.
It should not have lost to Suicide Squad for makeup.
No.
At the Emmys or Grammys or whatever.
I could disagree, Oscars. But that'd be a whole other argument.
But the face head thing, and then you got, you know, Crocodilly Dundee.
Killer you mean croc. They took a normal person and turned him into a giant crocodile every day they had to film? Yes, he had very minimal lines, but he was in damn near every scene.
I know.
So they had to do his makeup every goddamn day.
I know. I just like the makeup better.
Whereas Facehead was like a couple scenes here and there, and then, and that was it.
Grossed me out. Anyway,
I was expecting like to see the brain in there. I'm just like, ew. I don't want it now.
Nope.
I don't want the MacGuffin.
Where's Chris Pine in his motorcycle?
You just hear the music playing off of the distance as he's riding towards you.
It takes forever. All right, you want to talk Rex?
Sure, yeah.
Well, Darth Vader number one came out. Written by Charles Soule with Giuseppe Comancoli doing art.
Giuseppe.
And you know that scene in Revenge of the Sith where he just goes, no!
Yeah.
They do it, but it's so much better. Because it's like, he's sitting there.
You don't have 2 hours of unnecessary shit in front of it.
He's sitting there, and it's like, no. And then the next panel, no. And he like rips his arms out of the thing. It's like, no, no. And then just one final no. And it's like a giant force blast. Knocks the Emperor over, destroys all the machinery. And the Emperor is like, you told me you would save her. It even shows a flashback of Padme choking. I'm like, what the fuck? And the Emperor is like, you killed her in your rage. Not even the dark side could bring her back. It's like, you lied to me. And it's like, let this be a lesson you learn. And then he just shocks the shit out of Vader. And it's like, if you ever touch me again, it will be much worse. And I'm like, holy shit, they made the Emperor scary. And they made the scene from Revenge of the Sith actually worthwhile. And then they're sitting there and they're watching Palpatine's... Senator Buddy, the blue dude with the giant Leku spikes.
Yeah, it was like two war lines.
Yeah, he's giving his giant speech. It's like, oh, the Jedi were actually separatists the entire time, and our clone army and our Lord Darth Vader stopped them. And he's throwing all the lightsabers in this vat, and they all just explode. And it's not like
the kyber crystals.
And they even go on, it's like, do you know why the Sith lightsabers are red? It's because the Kyber crystals are alive and they bleed when you imbue them with the power of the dark side. And it's like, well, why the fuck didn't you give me one of those lightsabers before you blew them all up?
Yeah.
A Sith must take the Kyber crystal from a Jedi. And then he just drops them off in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's like, there's a Jedi here. I also left you a ship, but it seems like someone stole it. Deuces. And I'm like, holy shit, the Emperor is such a dick.
I was just saying, this sounds so much like a Robot Chicken sketch.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the Emperor becomes largely scary and actually like a force to be reckoned with. Vader is like, well, fuck. Finds the bounty hunters. And it's like, all right, force powers, and just smashes them. He picks up all these bolts and goes like full Magneto, shooting them at people. And I'm like, this is why Darth Vader's scary. And, you know, the whole first arc is supposed to be Darth Vader year one, him building his lightsaber. And I'm like, I'm super excited for this ride.
I might have to read this now.
I have the copy upstairs.
I would love, though, if the actor who played the Emperor actually said deuces.
Sheev Palpatine. Ian McDonald.
Like, if just in one of the dramatic scenes where he's talking to Luke, be like, your friends will be dead. Deuces.
But
Palpatine out.
Go for Palpatine.
Again, it made that scene from Revenge of the Sith so much better.
The fuck is an aluminum falcon?
What the hell's a panda bear?
Oh no.
I'm sorry about Padme or Panda Bear, whatever the fuck her name was.
He's crying. Wait, what do you mean you've been spinning around there for 2 weeks? Oh god, it must
smell like a burnt sock wrapped in leathery bacon.
His name is Sheev. Sheev. He even goes like, where's your lightsaber? Obi-Wan took it from me. And it's like, shocks him again. You need a new lightsaber.
What a dick. I love him.
Yeah. Again, it makes the Emperor actually seem like
a threat. In Kieran Gillen's Vader, the whole plot was, oh, the Emperor's trying to like get rid of him because he thinks he's antiquated.
Yep.
He's like, prove yourself.
And, you know, the Emperor's such a dick. Like, in the canon, like, Vader's armor supposed to channel his dark side powers because it's constantly hurting him, like all the life support and anything. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to upgrade it. He's not allowed to do anything. It's just feeding him pain the entire time. Also, we learn what the buttons do.
Oh,
they really? Change like the visors.
Oh, they're not just like, they're not like beatboxes. Like he can just make a sick beat.
I think that's actually a toy. Yeah,
but like even in the Force Unleashed games, the Emperor was such a dick. Yeah. Like the first one, like you choose the light side ending, you die. It's like when you kill Vader, and he's like, yes, Vader was weak. I was going to kill him anyway. Like, what a dude.
And then your clone comes out and kills you.
Like, he shocks you, and then, like, I will use you until I find a new apprentice, then dispose of you. Like, what a dick.
That's always how he's
been, though. I love him.
Like, even in the original trilogies, he finds out about Luke. He's like, oh, fuck you. A guy who's not a robot?
The guy that's only missing one hand?
That sounds yes. great.
That's three quarters better than you, Vader.
Peace out.
Get out of my sight.
I just like Darth Vader. I like Star Wars. That's great.
You are Star Wars
you
trash.
Are Star Wars
I am
trash.
Star Wars trash. I've been reading Star Wars fan fiction again. Because I don't have anything else to read other than my giant stack of comics.
Give in to the dark side.
Again, I would love to see a whole what-if series of like Anakin never fell to the dark side. And then Palpatine still became Emperor.
Qui-Gon left and trained Anakin all by his lonesome.
Give me a Qui-Gon series.
Qui-Gon booze.
If they do a Qui-Gon series, they have to draw him as Liam Neeson's.
They have to. Well, they're drawing it. They're doing a Mace Windu series and
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson during the Clone Wars. Also, rewatch Getty Tartakovsky's Clone Wars series.
Oh, I love
again.
That series.
There is a Jedi in that series named Shaggy. And it's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo a Jedi gets destroyed by Grievous.
Which I still love how they actually gave a reason for Grievous's cough in the third one from that series.
Oh, yeah, because he was, like, actually a person.
Well, it was point. He was taking the Emperor Windu, and then Windu like, just snapped crushed. His heart.
Yeah.
Like, he used his force power to crush his whole chest region. And that's why he has the cough in the third
Yeah, wasn't
one.
He, like, some sort of alien species, yeah. too?
He was an alien king that got burnt to shit, and then Dooku recruited him.
And then Mace Windu crushed his chest.
No, that never actually happened anymore.
Yeah.
It's just the life support in the robot system.
Since they retconned everything prior to
Clone Wars is canon, Rebels is canon, and then a few books here and there. All the new books that are currently being published are canon.
Everything else got retconned out.
Yeah.
I've been trained in your Jedi ways. Spin sands. It's a
fidget spinner. Steve, what about you? What's your pick for this week?
Well, mine is going to be the Power Rangers Annual. Came out last week, but holy shit, it was good. Like, it was a bunch of side stories that explain some things.
We'll get you a chair one day.
Like, it has the origin of Drakkon. How Tommy went and became Drakkon. Weirdly enough, he got the name from another creature that Rita had trained before. It's like thousands of years ago, I trained another creature against, and he rebelled against his planet and destroyed it.
I thought you were going to say it's like a... Shit, how did Childish Gambian get his name? It was like
the
a,
Wu-Tang Clan
name generator. Yeah, it was generator. A Wu-Tang Clan generator. All right, Tommy Oliver, Drakkon.
Quick sign. I'll save it.
But, she told him the story. He's like, yeah, I trained this guy named Drakkon, and he destroyed his whole planet. And Tommy's in there like, Drakkon, huh?
I can get behind that.
Oh, yeah, Drakkon. Rita's like, oh, you like that name? Let's talk. And they disappear. And then there is the backstory of Finster, which I told you about, the guy who makes the monsters. Holy shit, is it dark. Like, his planet he thinks is too peaceful, so he creates a monster to make chaos. It kills people. His wife finds out. They fight over it. They're pulling on something, and she falls backwards, slams her head on a table, and dies. Again, this is Power Rangers. Then they had just a neat little story about... have a future Adam, which was Johnny Young Bosch's Black Ranger, was fighting a monster, and he summoned all the previous and other incarnations of the Black Ranger. So you had like the ninja version, you had the
The ninja version.
The Mighty Morphin ones. You had the Zack from Power Rangers Pink come in. They even had the one from Operation Overdrive when they had the crossover episode coming with the armor on.
Nice.
It's like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Was it all written by Kyle Higgins?
No, it was a group of writers.
Okay. Higgins is going to be at DCC.
Yeah, he is.
Massive hype chain.
And Jamal, forget his last name, who does the cover art.
Yeah. Zach went away and we were going to transition to his topic, but we could talk about
Power. Yeah. But no, the annual was pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah. Are you going to pick up the new series? No. The Go-Go Power Rangers? No. About like their human life?
Yeah. It's like
the boring part.
It's like, yesterday they became Power Rangers. Now they have to learn how to be normal kids. It's like, I don't care.
I might pick that one up and trade.
Yeah. I might trade wait for it, but I'm not going to make it a regular series.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, you know, the Power Rangers comic, even the movie, had no reason to be good. But it's been so great. But it's
so good.
Like, I love the whole alternate... Again, I freaking love alternate universes for some reason. Because I know I have expectations for everything. And then... Curveball.
Yeah, like, I love how they're handling the alternate universe of... Like, what if Tommy didn't join the Rangers, went back to Rita? And then they have everyone... And, like, the army is just Power Ranger suits with... different classes on them.
Yeah. Did you ever read Max Landis's script for the Power Rangers movie?
You sent it to me. I read part of it. I got up to when they introduced Goldar, which okay. I would have preferred that Goldar over
liquid.
Yeah. Gold. Liquid gold. Cause I wanted the baboon in a giant suit of armor.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Zordon, where they made him a little jellyfish creature that could control electronics.
Instead, we got Bryan Cranston. Yeah. The Power Rangers, good. I did go to the Barnes and Noble, and they do have the Legacy Zords out now. So it's like the Samurai Zord is at the Barnes and Noble.
Samurai.
Are they on the Thunder Zords now?
Huh?
Because they've been releasing the Legacy Zords for a while. They have the first one. They have the Dragon Zord, Titanus.
Yeah, they have the
Thunder Zord now. That's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Because I was looking, I'm like, I used to have that one. I'm pretty sure it's still in my basement somewhere.
I never had the Thunder Megazord. I wanted it so bad, though. It was my favorite one.
Yeah. I think... I know for sure I got the one where they have a blue wolf.
The Ninja Megazord.
Yeah,
it was like one. The gorilla, the wolf, the bear, frog, and then Tommy's falcon just comes up and...
Yeah, I definitely remember having those as a kid. God, Power Rangers is so good. Nostalgia. All right, Zach, how about your rec?
I'm still going through a huge, like, two-week pile of comics, because here I thought the fifth week of May would be small. Nope, here's, like, 12 books.
How did you get 12 books in the fifth week of May?
I don't. All my Image titles apparently came back.
I got
a bunch of annuals.
That's it. Yeah. I had the Power Rangers annual, and then I had a couple Marvel books.
Yeah, I had the couple annuals, and then, like, I think six Image books, like, all came out. Like, Monstrous, Southern Cross, Saga, Sex Criminals.
That's what you get for going for the independent ones.
But they're so good. We don't want to talk about the Saga, just because this last issue was... I mean, it's Saga. Like, if you're not reading Saga, what are you doing with your life?
Meth.
Like,
being Steven.
It's just so goddamn good every single week.
I'm about halfway through the first trade.
My trades are in the closet.
Like, I don't want... there's such an important plot point that just happened that I can't really talk about the issue 43.
Haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I know. I can't really talk about it. I'm trying to think. Sex Criminals is really good. And what else did I read? Monstrous. Flash was pretty good too. We got Barry and
Barry and Hal.
Hal team up. And
it's called.
I think Barry's finally. Like, they're finally going to be done with the plot point of like, oh, Barry can't tell Iris that he's the Flash.
Because he even straight up says like, I need to tell her.
I think he's going to be kind of forced because Reverse Flash shows up. And he's like, hello, Iris West.
Yeah, he's like. There's only one Reverse Flash, and he's just chilling there. And I'm like, God damn it, you better not be Ibarthon.
Well, no, that's the whole thing about Reverse Flash, is like there were two of them at one point
timeline. Zoom and Reverse Flash.
Well, it's like one Reverse Flash died, and then the other one was still around. Like another one came from the future back, but he was like a younger version of Thon.
Yeah, and that one was Professor Zoom, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're toying around like, is it actually Thon, the one that got crispified by God?
Because they show the little...
They show his corpse, and then you see a little Speed Force flash in his eye.
I don't notice that.
What does it mean?
They make a whole panel of him zoomed in on the eye, and you see the flash in it. The little spark.
I don't remember that. Was that in the latest Flash issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
Okay. The Speed of Fear.
The Speed of Fear.
I think that's the arc.
I think one of the lists even said that Reverse Flash is going to expose Barry's greatest secret. So maybe we'll finally do it. And then Iris is like, I can't do this right now. You've been lying to me forever. I'm out.
And then we bring back
Patty.
Or they do the plot point of like, oh, so this is what you've been doing the whole fucking time. Why didn't you just fucking tell me?
Lois's reaction to Clark. Two quick highlights. JLA, Steve Orlando and Ivan Reyes' series is freaking awesome. Like, this past issue was like Killer Frost, like, I don't want to be a killer. I need something to help me with my sickness. And then Ryan's like, oh, let's go to the museum where one of Ice's descendants was found in the glacier. And it's like, oh, we can't figure out your sickness. And then there's a character that like touches people, makes their greatest fear come alive. And he touches Caitlin. She's like, you can't do that to me because I'm already my greatest fear. I'm like, baby. Ryan Choi and Caitlin Frost, Killer Frost, is such a very interesting couple. Like, they're kind of bringing them together. They're kind of flirting with each other. Even Vixen's like, yeah, you and Ryan have a thing together. Why do you think we sent both of you by yourselves to check this out?
Just fuck already.
Man, just do it.
Yeah. Even Lobo on the team is so great. I love Lobo. And then Infamous Iron Man. Reed Richards came back, but it's actually Ultimate Reed, probably. And he's telling Ben Grimm you need to kill Victor. And then Doom is sitting there. It's like, I had this vision. And the vision only comes to me in times of extreme stress. So, Riri, I need you to shoot me. And it's like, I need to see this vision again. God. Riri's like, I was coming here to fight you because you're ruining the legacy of Tony Stark. It's like, all right, then shoot me already. So, Riri blasts him twice. And Doom enters like this dream world vision. And it's like, oh my God, no. And it's like, yep, it's me. The Sorcerer Supreme, and it's Tony Stark. What? And I'm like, what kind of backwards ass hattery are we at right now?
What is happening anymore?
But man, I still
love. So what you're saying is two of my favorite Marvel characters that are combining into one?
Facial hair bros for life.
Iron Strange, Dr. Man.
Dr. Iron. It's great. I love Doom as Iron Man.
Oh, speaking of like dream sequences, the Star Wars Annual, which is the last issue for the solo series, was great too. It's like Peter in this like dream sequence, and he talks to he thinks he sees dead Banner. It's like kind of like that whole like, am I actually like it? Because he crashes his ship, he goes into a coma, and he's dreaming the whole time. But it's also like, was he almost about to pass on? Because he even talks to Banner. He's like, you can come back with me, see if you can come back alive. He's like, no, I'm good here. I'm happy with where I'm at now. I'm glad that the monster's finally quelled.
Yeah.
It was a really great issue.
I believe it.
I'm so sad that series is gone now.
It didn't sell. Such a stupid god. Stupid sexy Star-Lord. At least we get Anka on Runaways.
That's true.
That'll be fun. I'll read yours. I don't want to add any more Marvel titles unless they're Star Wars. Because Marvel's getting rid of everything I love.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Sil.
I'm just kind of waiting for Legacy at this point to see what happens.
Yeah, and Legacy number 1 comes out in September, and then Secret Empire number 10 talks about the vanishing points. Everyone's like, maybe that's where Steve Rogers is. And then Secret Empire 10 also shows like the Legacy cover on it. So everyone's like, oh, all the heroes are going to go back to the vanishing point and fix the universe.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Too spoopy.
Anywho, I think that's everything.
I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, day 5.
Day 5 is coming back.
We got a teaser trailer for day 5. Rooster Teeth's post-apocalyptic Walking Dead-esque series.
You fall asleep and you die.
Yep.
One of the most disturbing things is like the third episode where Gavin Free.
Oh, yeah. Where he just walks into the morgue, lays down, and be like, yep, night. That's it. And just falls asleep and just like, he just killed himself.
Yeah.
There's so many, and then the scene with Joel, and what's her name? God, I can't remember her name.
Love that.
Oh, that episode made me cry. Mm-hmm. It made me cry so bad.
Yeah, day 5 is such a pretty much. I think we've talked about it once, but premise: something happens, and everybody who falls asleep dies, and all the people who are left are people who just happen to be awake during that time, or like the people who work the late shift, or Red Eye Flight.
You were on a drug bender.
Yeah. So it's pretty much these group of people just trying to stay awake.
Yep. And if you know what happens when you stay awake too long, hallucinations, not thinking straight, and it creates a very interesting.
Your body physically cannot handle it.
It creates very interesting villains and everything else. And let's not forget about the Milkman, the greatest character.
The Milkman.
But if you are interested in day 5 and that premise, the first episode is on YouTube for free. So you can go and check that out. It's very much worth it. Like, it's a very interesting story. It's very upbeat and happy. And then it just turns.
If you like Walking Dead, you will really love
this. We are the Walking Dead, Carl.
Like, this is, I personally think it's a better premise than Walking Dead, just because it's like, it's something they physically.
It's a human function.
Yeah, it's like
it's not like a virus. Of like you died and now you're a zombie. It's now you need to do this. If you do this basic human function, you die.
If you die in real life, you die in real life.
Also, Camp.
Yes.
If you like absolutely fucked up cartoons,
holy shit! I cannot believe they got away with
beyond fucked up cartoons. Camp.
There's a Colts episode, season 2.
Tasted better.
You can watch all of season 1 on YouTube right now for free.
God, Quartermaster.
Tasted better in Jonestown.
And then the implication of Dolphin, the purification chamber. God.
I have a serious problem with you putting me in there. Like,
I don't think you realize the fucked up implications of you putting me in a gas chamber.
Oh, this is not a gas chamber.
It's a purification chamber. We use steam and subliminal messages to reprogram your mind.
That's MK Ultra.
Yeah. God. Oh my God. I can't believe they did it. I can't believe they did that.
And then a beautiful music number at the end.
Yep. Which was pretty much Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah.
Camp style.
You gotta watch it.
God. Camp is. When we first saw the trailer for Camp, I don't think anybody expected this.
Like, they just went full throttle on the fucked upness in episode 1.
It's, like, Always Sunny, but animated and...
Like, I was expecting a steady build to, like, we're going to start somewhat tame, and then progressively get more fucked up. Nope. They went 0 to 60.
It's like a combination of South Park and Always Sunny.
Yeah, that works. Alrighty. I think that's everything for realsies. Go check out E3. Battlefront 2 got announced. No space battles, but we get three generations
Bioware's,
of clones.
Bioware is a new game. New IP.
Yep, it's going to be shown off in 25 minutes.
Hour and 25 minutes.
It's 2 p.m. Central.
2 p.m. Pacific.
You're right.
Which is 3 o'clock here.
No.
Do you enjoy playing games with my heart? Do you feel good about this?
The floor is Kingdom Hearts 3, and it just has a person with a Square Enix head climbing on the wall.
Do you feel good about that?
Are you going to like the tweet or not?
No.
Is that then maybe later of the month now? Is this is
the floor blank, is.
The floor is.
The floor is lava, yeah.
The floor is the payload.
Don't do that. Don't do that to me. We all know the implications of the payload. All right. Thank you guys for listening to us, whether you're listening to us on iTunes, Google Play.
SoundCloud now.
SoundCloud. Back on YouTube.
There. Tune in.
It's still there, but it has a problem like updating.
So we're not using TuneIn anymore?
It's still getting updates, but they're really delayed. So if you still like using that, go for it. But we're going to be promoting SoundCloud more.
Yeah. So if you, wherever you listen to us, go check us out. Subscribe to us, like us, give us a rating. Because all of those things help us get broadcasted more. And then we can expose ourselves to other audiences.
The more reviews and likes and follows we get, the easier it is for us to do bigger events. Big reason we're not doing full-on coverage of DCC is because we don't have that big of a visible viewer audience.
Yeah.
So get those likes, maybe those follows, those tweets, those retweets, whatever you got to get us more exposure.
Yes. Help us to make more content.
Yeah, we love you guys and we do this for you. And who's what's it's... Thank you again, and love you, Internet. Also, Dark Days, The Forge, comes out this Wednesday. Woo! Bam, 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 bam.
Metal.